Okay, that's fine. So you said Ita was married to whom?
Jonas Baumgarten.
Baumgarten. He was also from Visegrad?
Bozano.
Ah, like my father.
He knew your father very well.
And what has become of him?
Well, in Russia, well, first you have to go on from Białystok when I arrived to them, no?
Yes, we already were in Białystok. Then, after arriving in Białystok, you meet with Binnen Lederman, who was heading a group that was resisting to go back to Poland.
They all were very happy to go
and
back.
And Ita was there, and she had been married to Jonas Baumgarten.
Yeah, they lived in Białystok.
They lived in Białystok. When did she marry him?
Well, I don't know when, not in Visegrad, in Białystok or in Russia, in the wartime.
Okay, fine.
So I lived with them in Białystok when I arrived there, waiting to go back to Machshimoy Hitler.
Okay. What, this was in the spring or in the summer?
1940. Summer. Wait a minute.
In the summer?
March, April, like May, June.
May, June.
Yeah.
1940.
So I stayed with them in Białystok. The street was Hazanovicha 2, but it doesn't matter. This was a rabbi's apartment, and a rabbi let in Russians. Yita rented from them a room, and I was there, and another boy, Bilgaray, which we knew very well from the Bilgarays and their cousin. So,
and you stayed in the same room with
the
Bilgaray?
In the same room, yeah. A small room.
What was Bilgaray's first name, this Bilgaray?
Monik.
Okay.
So, we stayed with Yita, and we didn't do nothing. Yita cooked for us. Jonas was working. I wouldn't write down this. Jonas was working in a hospital. Some kind of buyer for the hospital, food, whatever he did. And that time, after a short time being there, the Russians start arresting people. And we didn't know for no reason that registration to the Germans was a legal thing. This was like, how do you call that?
It was not illegal.
But not illegal. And I knew a young man from Warsaw went to a different city because over there was easier to go back to Germany from our village, and he was happy that he could go, and he went to the Germans, and who the heck knows what happened. Anyway, we were there with staying with Ita, and we knew that they're arresting people, whatever they do. In one night, they knock in the door, in our door where we were sleeping. Jonas weren't there. I wasn't there, Jonas. And they knock in the door, and we didn't open the door. We opened the window. There was on the ground floor. We opened the window. There was a little small street there. We opened the window. And when you open the window, we were going to jump out from the window, just run away. We knew that knocking is Russian police. And when we hear that knocking, we open the window, and outside stay two soldiers, Russians, with the bayonets. And we didn't say a word. Then we opened the door and they said we should take some things with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we took, and that was the arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time we were under arrest.
So Yita was also arrested?
No, they didn't took her, only boys. She was crying, this and that, but it didn't help. So they arrested us. And we were in Bialystok, I don't know how long, maybe a month or two.
Where were you led to, in a prison?
No, it was first they took us in a synagogue. It was, overnight. And in the morning they took us in a place, they call it Sosnuvka. There were garages, not finished garages, and they put us there. There was no roof finished, and it was raining, we were under the rain. And this was, we were there maybe 2 months, and he gave us a piece of bread. And what the Russians did, what the Germans did in Auschwitz, all the glasses, what the people were wearing, watches, everything what you had, any, this was, they call this valuable belongings, they looked for money too, but people who had money were hiding, but glasses was a pile up, glasses, they took away people glasses. I didn't have any glasses, I didn't use, but people walked around, they were blind without the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Glasses and watches they took away. And we were under arrest. And questioned us and this and that. Anyway,
what was the purpose of the questioning? What did they want to know?
They asked questions like, from where you are, what your parents did, And... there was a guy, a funny guy, I remember, from Warsaw. Listen to this. A funny guy who wasn't afraid of the Russians. He escaped 10 times from that camp. And they caught him again, and he came back. And he, each time he gave a different name. He was, he had that experience to run away. And he told, I remember him, he told, he was a smart fellow. And they asked him what the parents did. He said, my mother was running a whorehouse. And this for the Soviets, this was like death sentence, To another, he said, my father was a capitalist. Many times he was caught and asked questions with different names. He did what he was funny. He made fun of them. He told them he can. But what happened to him, I don't know. Finally, we were there. They asked me questions. I answered. I didn't tell them that we had land or a store or something. I said my parents were tailors. That's it, working. But I wasn't that funny guy. So from there, we were walking all over Bialystok in the morning, very early, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and people were not allowed to look through the windows. Were, a full street of people, and you should see the guards around us like we would be real criminals. It reminds me like Germans used to do the same thing. The Soviets did it. Okay, they didn't shoot us, but the way they were
treated.
To the train. And they load us in a train. And when we were on the street.
These were also cattle train?
Cattle. Oh, and our cattle train. Stinky cattle train. And till you come to the train, it took time. And when we were walking in the street, it could be 2 or 3 kilometers a line in the streets from all over, from all the synagogues, churches, all over the world, people arrested, put in there, and they brought them all here, and they lined them up, and people, there was orders, we didn't know, but we saw that people were not allowed to look through the curtains. People looked a little bit, you know, but, and we were not allowed, each time we walked a half a block, we had to sit down on the ground. Not to stay, because you stay, you could run. But they were all around us. Nobody could run. Uh-huh. Anyway, with the bayonets, we got into the train already. It was maybe 3 months, traveling on that cattle trains.
3 months? No, you must not remember.
Well, wait a minute.
What, because it was the summer.
No,
not the end of the summer.
But we were more standing than traveling.
Uh-huh.
Each time we come to a station, they pushed us in a dead end, and we were standing. We didn't know what's going on. We didn't know where we're going. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Till we arrived up north, they call it Kotlas.
But do you really think that you were there for 3 months in that train?
It looked like that.
Oh, okay.
It may be 2, it may be 5 weeks, I don't know, but to lay like a dog.
No, I know.
And we didn't know what day it is.
Mm-hmm. But
wait a minute, when we were in that train, traveling, there were maybe 30 or 40 people in a car. In this, you had those, how do you call, shells, like, you know, to sleep. You lie down, you know, that's all what you get. Somebody had a blanket, was lucky, he had a blanket. And there was, where you go to the toilet?
I don't know.
A hole made with a pipe. Not even made a board, a piece of board. And some guys, you know, there's 30 people. Some guys had a bad stomach. They were sitting for hours. We had to throw them out. I mean, throw them away. He made in the pens. But you know what went on there? Through that pipe where people were doing, Russian people standing outside, they knew that here are prisoners. Through that pipe, Russian people, women mostly, want to put in some food for anybody who's grabbing it. And they were shooting at them, or threatening to shoot. We heard shots, we couldn't see. And once in a while, a thing came through. So what was blackberries they had, you know, whoever could grab. You know, you made yourself dirty putting in your hand there. And that's the kind of life we went through, you know. But I want to show you about Russian people. This was against the law to come close to the train. They weren't allowed to walk to the train. But that's what happened. So we arrived to that city Kotlas. This was the main point where they sent people from Kotlas with trucks.
Okay. Where is that in Russia?
This is the
Kotlas?
North, yeah.
How do you Kotlas?
Kotlas. I would say Kotlas.
Okay. And this was where, in Siberia?
No.
Where was that?
Siberia was farther east.
So where was that?
Let's say...
By the Ural?
No. I don't know how to...
It wasn't a big city, you know.
No, it was a city like special for transportation for prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was a big railroad station.
Okay, so you started in Bialystok.
Yes.
And you went east.
Not too far east.
North, mostly?
Mostly north.
So did you go to, in the direction of Leningrad? Vitebsk?
Wait a minute, let me see some. What's this, Karelskaya?
Yeah.
Yeah, not far from Karela. Novgorod, Leningrad. You're going to be here someplace.
Cherepovets?
No.
Vologda?
Yes, I was in Arkhangelsk.
But you know, Arkhangelsk already in
yeah,
Siberia.
Yeah. No, it's not no. Siberia. Vologda. It's here in that area.
Borovichi?
No.
Restovo?
No.
Vichni, Votochkos, Kalinin?
No.
Yaroslav?
Yaroslav, where's Yaroslav?
Yaroslav?
Yaroslav.
Tutajev?
No.
Andropov?
No. Oh,
Ugrich.
Vologda.
Vologda. Cherepovets?
No. If you give it to
Kirillov?
No, I don't remember that.
Danilov?
No, give it.
Lyubin? Well,
Kirov, I wasn't Kirov.
Well, I guess you don't remember exactly where it was.
I know. This is it.
What is it? Siktivkar?
Yes.
So you were very close to Siktivkar.
Siktivkar is the capital.
Yes.
From.
So, but you arrived in Kotlas.
Kotlas was the first stop. And from here, they put us...
Yeah. So you didn't stop in Kotlas?
Yeah, we stopped in Kotlas.
How long did you stay in Kotlas?
Maybe 2 days. In Kotlas, they put us the first shower. In, you know, Kotlas, Siftikvar. Now I'm here home.
Okay.
In Kotlas, Uchta. You see Uchta? I've been to Uchta.
Well, but wait a minute. You stayed 2 days in Kotlas.
Yeah.
What happened next? They put you in trucks?
No.
Or continued the train?
In Kotlas, they put us in barges.
Mm-hmm. Barges. And went to where? Well, let me see. It must have been a river.
Yeah.
So, the Vichnegda?
Vichigda.
Vichigda. River.
Yeah. Vichigda, I remember that river.
And then it goes to Sheshchart?
No.
Mikung?
No.
Selesno-Doroshny?
No. Well, I don't know. Siftikvar is the capital.
Okay.
And I see that where I was, it doesn't show here. But this is
it's
the capital.
North of Siftikvar?
In that area, I really don't know. You see, Uchta, I remember.
In a small town or a big town?
It wasn't a town, it was gulags. Mm-hmm. There was no town. What kind of town was there? You see, Kotlas, what's that red one? A railroad?
It may be a railroad. Let me check.
That red one.
I think we went here with that you see here Vorkuta.
You went all the way to Vorkuta?
No, they want to send me there, but I sneaked out. They want to send me to Vorkuta, the railroad. You see, I think this is the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to build...
But did they go as far as Uchta or not?
Yes, in Uchta I've been.
But in that thing, from Kokras
to Uchta.
You did go to Uchta immediately?
Yes. Oh, Piechora, here, you see Piechora?
Mm-hmm.
This is the area where I was. Uchta, Piechora. But the small, where I was, it was very small, was here, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I want to tell you about Kotlas. When we arrived in Kotlas, was the first bath they gave us.
The first bath?
Yeah.
I thought it was in Kotlas.
In Kotlas, I said.
Yeah, the first shower.
Yeah, Kotlas, yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. everybody took off the clothes,
mm-hmm.
and they took the clothes to a... make disinfection.
Mm-hmm.
So the disinfection means they put in a hut to burn the lice,
mm-hmm.
And they never brought back anything.
It burned out? Or?
No, they stole everything.
Mm.
They stole everything. So how could you? People stay naked, and they gave you that gulag uniform.
Okay.
You know.
But that was already in Kotlas.
In Kotlas. So when I got dressed in that thing, and I had a coat with four underneath, with a four collar, a good three-quarter coat, and my belongings, I remember the whatever. So across a fence were the old prisoners already. Here was the bath for the new, and then, so I sneaked through there, and there they had a little market selling items,
mm-hmm.
and I recognized my three-quarter coat. And I was a young guy, I mean, I don't know what I did, but I went over like this, and I grabbed the coat, and everything was next to it, I grabbed, was all my belongings, and I got everything back. And the guy was an idiot. He was scared of me, and I got everything back.
Good.
Yeah. And from Kotlas, from there, they took us with trucks to the gulag, to the camp.
I thought it was barges.
With barges to, I think, to Uchta. With barges,
mm-hmm.
and then we arrived in Uchta, I think, and they took us with trucks to the barges, and what goes to Severna Dvina, the river.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, with trucks to the gulag.
Do you remember the name of the gulag?
Yes.
What was it?
Number two, that's it.
Oh, there was no name?
Camp number two.
It was no name of the place?
There was the headquarters, they call it Vojael. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
And my camp was number two.
Okay.
That's all what I know.
So by that time, what season was it? Was it winter?
It was still warm, yeah.
It was warm?
Still warm, yeah.
When so it arrived, was in... July, August?
I don't remember. I couldn't. We forgot the days. We weren't. We didn't know about days anymore. So when we came, Do you know what in the German camps used to sign?
Arbeit macht frei.
Arbeit macht frei. In there was also a sign. Kto rabotaje, tot jest.
Kto
rabotaje,
jest.
Tot jest.
Tot
jest.
Jest.
This is in Russian.
I understand almost everything except jest.
Eating.
Oh, so who works eats.
Eats.
Mm-hmm.
And this was bull. Anyone said.
Kto rabotajet? Kto jest? Or
kto rabotajet? Tot jest.
Or tot jest.
Tot.
Okay.
Who works?
Mm-hmm. Eats.
Eats. And this was full of baloney. Who don't rabotajet? It's opposite, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Here you complain about expenses and rich people, this and that. That is a little food, was there, you know.
Okay, so you were in the region of Ukhta.
Ukhta. This is the name of that
oblast.
Like, oblast means state.
Mm-hmm.
Komi SSR.
Yeah, it's called Timansky Kizhash. Timansky Kizhash.
What that means, I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. So this is fairly up north.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I went with by train because I worked in the train in Vorkuta. Over there, when you spit, it freezes in the air. Yeah, and here they want to, when I was there, they want to continue till the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Here they call it the sea. How do
Kara sea, Nervikara. Karskoje Moor.
Yeah, but I don't remember that.
There was another one.
It's not far from the North Pole, you know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's Bajdarashkaya Guba.
Guba. Oh, I don't know that, what that means.
And Zagorsky Shar.
I don't remember that either. But that thing, Vorkuta, I was once in business, they call it,
mm-hmm.
You know. They sent me for something. And they want to send me there for good to build from here up to the sea, to
mm-hmm.
the North Pole
mm-hmm.
railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Today maybe they have it already. And I was in the list to go there. You know what saved me? I didn't go?
No.
The sciatica.
Ah. You got the crisis of sciatica?
I made the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my doctor, and I brought with me something to eat. Doctors have to eat too. And I said, I told him he wanted to send me there, and because of my sciatica. So he gave me a paper, and it said in the paper that my name, that Aaron Gemach, is not able to work any physical work.
You're lucky.
And I brought this to the director of the railroad,
mm-hmm.
who put me on the list. When I walked into him, I said, I have sciatica. He said, they'll treat you over there, and you're going to go where we sent you. There's
no
bargaining, you know.
Yeah.
So when I brought this, I didn't go back to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the office with mm-hmm. the people sitting there, and I present that paper, and they put it there in the file, whatever, and they took me off the list.
Hmm. Okay.
That time, because I was unable to do physical work, they put me in a different job. I used to work as a, what do you call it? I don't know in English how to say. To throw the wood in the locomotive,
mm-hmm.
in the top. You know, we didn't use coal because coal we had to deliver to the front. It was wartime. But we had a lot of wood. So big, throw it in, and this was my job, and put the oils in the
in
locomotive,
the, yeah.
You know. Well, about 12 different kind of oils.
Wait a minute, but we're going too fast. You arrived in that gulag number 2.
Yeah.
What happened after you arrived there?
They looked the map. The map confused me. When we arrived to the gulag, they start sending, after a day or two, they start sending people to work in the forests, cut
mm-hmm.
wood, and do work, outside work. Mainly, the main production there is cutting woods.
Mm-hmm.
And throwing in the river, carrying out with horses to the river, and
so it floats on the river.
Yeah, and this went down, and whatever happened with the wood. After a few days, I did some work that I saw it's very bad, very hard, and the food is no good. For not good, it's not enough. And we were prisoners. That's it. So one day comes in the barrack a guy, also a prisoner. He was a German-German, was a prisoner. Name was Alex,
mm-hmm.
and he called who knows to wash laundry,
mm-hmm.
do laundry. We're going to give food.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard food, I woke up. In Iran, and another guy, and they take us in the laundry. There's a Chinese guy doing it, and that Chinese couldn't speak a word, Russian, nothing, and he showed me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gave me a bunch of dirty things, and he showed me how to do it. In the meantime, that Alex, went to the kitchen. Bring food. He said, you're going to bring food. He goes to the kitchen and brings a whole thing with soup in the scrubbings from the
mm-hmm.
thing, what he scrub out, he clean it, and this was worth it $1 million, that food.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I said, oh no, I'm not going from here. Because there's food. And you don't have to go and cut the woods or work in the, you know. So I saw how that Chinese is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh boy, I couldn't do that. The way he do the laundry and the
mm-hmm.
board, you know,
mm-hmm.
the board. You ever saw that?
Yeah.
So I said, how can I do something, make friendship with that Chinese guy? And he should say good for me. He couldn't speak any Russian,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't speak any Chinese. His name was Vanya.
Vanya?
Vanya.
Okay.
A Russian name. He couldn't speak a word Russian. So I went back to my belongings I had. I brought from home, I had 2 pair of socks and that little rubber what holds the socks, you know, here we don't use this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about?
Yeah.
In Europe, in Poland.
Yeah, because there was no rubber natural in
yeah.
yeah.
So I had it still folded, were new, the socks, not just old
mm-hmm.
washed out socks, brand new,
mm-hmm.
and those rubbers were new in the plastic. And I bring it to him, to that Chinese guy, Ivanya. And he looked at this and he starts smiling. And he don't know what it is. And he asked me, I said, I don't know. He takes a sock and puts in his hand. It's like a glove, you know. Because over there, you didn't know about socks. You had a piece of rag all the time.
Yeah.
So now I saw Shoemetz in the Sefer the feet. He started laughing like I fooled him or something. And he picked it up and hid it. He, you know, like it's, he never saw this.
Treasure.
That's true. So, and he said, I said to him, Vanya, you know, in Russian, but he didn't understand me, but I showed him, me, mm-hmm. He said, Kolesho means good.
Mm-hmm.
And the man, there was a man who was in charge of the laundry and of the bath house. He came in, and this was a Manchurian guy who spoke Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
A Manchurian, also he was also a prisoner. Everything is prisoner there. And he asked him about me. I understood that he pointed. He said, Kolosho means good.
Yes, good.
And I spent all my 13 months, but I wasn't that gulag,
mm-hmm.
in the laundry. That's how I survived. And I was a healthy bull,
mm-hmm.
because I had food. And I helped all, which I had a few friends, you know, from Bialystok. From Visegrad, I had nobody, you hear me? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Just from Bialystok, when we were arrested, I had somebody which was a relative to Bluestein.
Mm-hmm.
And we slept together, we worked together. His name was David Gruda, not far from Polsk, a small town. And we were friends. He was older than I. He had a wife and a kid already left home. And I helped him, and I gave him, you know, coupons for food, because I had those coupons. You know, those cooks had the mm-hmm. coupons here when they collect the coupons,
mm-hmm.
and that apron and the little pocket. And I had hundreds of coupons.
Worth a fortune.
A fortune. I didn't sell it. I wouldn't sell it, but I picked out the best numbers, the less numbers, not the old numbers, the less numbers, and I gave him every day about 20, 25, and he gave away to other friends. But I sell it, I wouldn't sell it. What I'm gonna get for it? Mm-hmm. I don't wanna go in business, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't give it to nobody, only to that David, because mm-hmm. he was my friend, and I want to help if I could.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't help. There were 2,000 Jews there
mm-hmm.
in that gulag. And if somebody would say one word, I'd get shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they would find out if I give out a lot more, you know. In 2020, it didn't show nothing. Anyway, that was my job till we got free from the gulag after 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't tell you that Alex's father, I sent home a card or a letter from the Gulag to Visegrad.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, Alex's father sent me a postcard written in Russian. He asked me if I know where his son is, Alex. You know where Alex was?
No.
He was not in a gulag. He was in Sitikvar.
In Sitikvar?
Sitikvar he was.
Hmm.
And there was a few Visegrad there. If you heard, Kaysman was there. Alex used to work something in a tailor shop, whatever. He was not in a gulag.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I had that card for a long time, and I later on, I don't know, when I got freed.
But did you know that he was in Sitka?
No.
Oh, okay.
Who has?
So when you received his letter,
I didn't answer. Okay. I didn't know. And then this was before. This was maybe 1940, but 41 the war started.
Mm-hmm.
Why I got free? Because the war started in America and England. The Allies mm-hmm. forced the Russians to send letters out. You know that I had 25 years gulag.
That was your in my sentence. Punishment.
Yeah.
Mm.
Why I was 25 years? So
And there was a young girl with the judge. She was reading. She was not a judge. She was reading the sentence. You know what I was? A spy for German.
Yeah. This is exactly the accusation that all the Jews that tried to go back to Poland.
Yes, right. That's right. But, well, that's what the girl so she's. I said to her, I want to say, she didn't let me say, and a soldier pulled me away from her, signed it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I signed it, that I was a spy for the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I signed it? Maybe half an hour before I went in, they carried out one guy half dead because he didn't want to sign. He said, I'm not a spy. So the soldier gave him with the rifle at the back here in the head, and mm-hmm. I heard that he died right away.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to catch up now. Let me see. Where were we? I'm mixed up. I was saying that you received a letter from Visegrad, from Alex's father, who got and sent back a letter inquiring about Alex, but you didn't know that he was then in fictive car, working as a tailor.
Oh, I have to tell you something, that I met Alex. You know when?
No.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that. When I was back from Russia in Bialystok, I found out that Alex is in Lvov.
Oh, you forgot to tell me that.
And I went to see Alex.
Okay. Wait a minute.
I stayed there 2 weeks.
So, hold on a minute.
You don't remember the
order.
He was there. He was a fireman in Lvov.
Okay, 1 minute.
Okay.
I want to catch up. 7 and 8. And I want one that's called 6.
Do you know what you're writing?
I know that I'm writing. I'm just
Are you gonna print this or whatever?
I'll do something with it. It's a confirmation. It's a correlation with that. So, in Bialystok, learned Aaron learned about the presence of Alex. Did you meet him there?
Sure, in Lvov.
Then traveled to Lvov and met him.
And his sister, Zelda.
And his sister, Zelda?
Zelda.
Okay. What did you then do with him? What was he doing in Lvov?
He got a job in the fire department.
Okay.
He used to go at night, you know, like a guard to watch some military
mm-hmm.
warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a real fireman, but he belonged to the fire department, and he was guarding, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once you met him, you just got back to Bialystok?
Well, I stayed with him 2 weeks.
Okay. And he wanted to stay there?
I think he didn't talk about going back. I tell you why. That Zelda
mm-hmm.
was married to a dentist. He was the dentist in Visegrad.
What's his name?
Taubenfeld. First name I don't know. I knew, but I forgot.
Okay. And she didn't want to go back to
Well,
him?
He was the dentist, worked in Pshemysh, a city from where he comes originally.
Mm-hmm.
In Pshemysh.
Okay.
And he used to come for like for the weekends to Lvov. There wasn't, they didn't make a decision yet where he going to be mm-hmm. established or Lvov. It was a temporary thing. So to them, because he original was from Shemesh, he still had his parents there. Mm-hmm. He to him was no questions to go back to the Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex, he didn't talk about, oh, look at this, I found here.
What?
Krasnodar. You see, from here,
mm-hmm.
I wind up here,
mm-hmm.
Till the end of the war.
Okay, but we're not yet there.
No.
So is there any other thing that happened in the relationship with Alex or Zelda when you were there in Lvov?
No.
So you decided to go back to Bialystok?
I went back after 2 weeks to Bialystok because I was waiting to go back to Germany.
Okay. Why do you call it Germany? It was to Poland.
Yeah, but it was the Germans were there.
Mm-hmm.
It was no more Poland.
But in fact, what you wanted to go back is to Poland.
To Warsaw, to Wyszegrod, yes.
Okay. Fine. So I think we have that. 6, 7.
You know, I need that map in mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, we're going to do something with that.
No, we're going to seize.
Okay, we are not finished yet.
No.
You have another 10 minutes before
I have,
you crawl.
Yeah, I have it. 5 minutes, my way.
Okay, now we are. When you got freed from the gulag, after the letter that you got from Alex's father and couldn't answer, what happened?
I didn't know if he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Since I saw him in Lvov, and then I was arrested and said, mm-hmm. You go back to Warsaw.
Yeah.
Then
you hadn't seen
I didn't have any.
Okay.
I wasn't
but, so what happened when you got freed up from the gulag? So the reason for freedom was an agreement with the Allied
the
forces.
The Allied forces to let out the Polish innocent citizens.
Forces to free all innocent Polish citizens held. Okay. So this was in 1941. Or 42.
What?
That you get freed from the gulag.
Between 41 and 42. I don't remember a month.
Well, was it in summer, winter?
It was warm.
It was warm?
Yeah.
So summer. It must have been 42.
Could be.
It was before the big German drive towards Stalingrad.
To Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, it was already.
Stalingrad was 42.
Yeah, so... Knyaz Pogost. Yeah, that time date, so
mm-hmm.
I remember.
So, it's the summer, you're freed from the gulag. What happened?
I came out from the gulag, and there was... people got free and they went all over to go to the south, to the far east.
How did you decide where to go?
See, that finger decide. you think I'm showing you the finger like this?
Tell me.
You see this?
Yes.
This
is your middle finger.
Yeah. This was swollen and infected. It was like this.
Okay.
It was green.
Because of infected
finger, probably from the doing the laundry.
Middle finger. Then what?
I had pains.
Well,
to be crazy. And the pushing around, people went on the trains going south to get out from that area. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Any place. Nobody knew where he's going. But to go east, southeast to go, mm-hmm. away. So there came out a man by name Lovchenko.
Lovchenko?
Yeah, a Rus.
Mm-hmm. What about that Lovchenko?
He came out when we all received those papers of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it said in those papers was the first sentence that we were Polish citizens. You understand? Mm-hmm. Before we were Soviet citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But in that paper, I'll never forget, it says, like Bifshi, like before you were Polish citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You're free.
Mm-hmm.
You can go wherever you want to. This is in Soviet Union, it's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that came out at Lovchenko, and he said, who is a tailor could register and go with, come with me? Mm-hmm. We have a tailor shop here and there, not far from here. So it came to my mind, instead of traveling with that finger made me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was green and mm-hmm. so big. Swollen, mm. and the pain you can't imagine. No medicine or nothing. So I went the first and registered myself as a tailor. And after me, well, maybe 40 guys start talking to each other. If it's not far from here, let's try. We'll see. And there was nobody. Was no tailor shop. They brought machines and we start a tailor shop. What means that tailor shop? We fixed those from the gulag, the torn things, made patches, you know, fixing the things. This was the tailoring. I couldn't touch nothing because of this. I couldn't work.
So?
And there was a guy, they call it a sanitar, like not a doctor, but and he gave me some grease, what you put on the wheels, you know, mm-hmm. grease. It didn't help nothing. I mean, I don't know. If I'm alive from it, he opened by the cell, or I think he opened with a pin.
Mm-hmm.
Post came out. Anyway, because I couldn't work, he made me the supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
I could write, and I had the whole supervising was they have a list from all the workers, and Mark who came and gave everybody pieces of fabric to make the patches and that thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got food, and they gave us old stinky barracks. Well, it used to be a gulag there, but there was mm-hmm. no more gulag, and they create a tailor shop. And everybody was happy. And I was happy. But the guys, when I gave him that fabric to make the patches,
mm-hmm.
all of my friends, all the friends, mm-hmm. used to steal that fabric, put it here, and walk out and go to the black market and sell it. One day, I'm going to call.
Okay, we can stop now.
First, I'm going to make a fee. You know, Misha, when we...